I am loving.
I am fabulous.
I am beautiful.
I am saved.
I am a victor.
I am faithful.
I am devout.
I am accepted.
I am a Christian. I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
I am MCC.
I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
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 Our lectionary reading for the third Sunday of Resurrection is taken from the Gospel according to the author of Luke, chapter 24, verse 13 to 35. We are reading from the New Revised Standard Version.
Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." So they came near the village to which they were going. He walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
The Christian life is a journey made with others. We should know this already if we read our Bibles and pray every day, as what my professor often said. We do the walking ourselves, but the journey is never by ourselves. We travel with various kinds of people who themselves are walking the path. On a more literal sense, many of us Filipinos journey or travel using tricycles, jeepneys, buses, as well as the very congested MRT or LRT. We travel with coworkers, with friends and family using public transport. We travel with fellow commuters. Some are working in the offices, in the BPO, some are day laborers, construction workers. Some are even informal workers in the markets, street vendors that we ride or we travel with in jeepneys and other public transport. We travel with fellow commuters who have a story of their own as much as we do. In our story today, there are two disciples, one of which was named Cleopas. They were traveling by foot to a town named Emmaus, which the gospel says about 7 miles from the city of Jerusalem, the capital. It takes them an entire day, a whole day, to walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. As they were traveling, they were talking with each other about everything that just happened to Jesus and their group. What happened? How could such a thing come to pass? Was he not the chosen one? Did we not witness how he expelled demons, made the blind see and the lepers clean? Did he not command the winds and calm the storm? Did he not walk on water before our own eyes? Did he not do many other wonderful and amazing things? Was he not the chosen one? Perhaps the journey they were taking was to escape the same fate of their leader that was executed. Perhaps what they were talking about were also their fears, sorrows, and even disappointments. Then a stranger approached them. The stranger joins their conversation, joins their journey, explains to them many things, wrestles with them, with their questions, doubts, fears, and disappointments. Now, looking back at my own life and my own journey, but specifically the journey I took entering seminary and undergoing the long process of theological education and formation, yes, it was a long and exhausting journey. I had to walk the journey, but I did not journey alone. 28 other aspiring, committed, and faithful people also took their first step into Union Theological Seminary, the School of Prophets. I had my own fears, my own struggles and anxieties. There was no scholarship or formal support for me at the beginning, and throughout the journey, I had to beg to survive. Yet, I was not the only one. We were all in the same journey with each of our own struggles, confusions, and fears. All of us wrestling with faith and reason. All of us wrestling and discerning theological deconstruction and spiritual reconstruction. We journeyed together and talked many nights and many early mornings of things that we did not fully understand, nor of things that we fully accepted. We also met strangers along the way. We met them in our first exposure joining the Sona protest rally in 2014. We met strangers in the fishing communities of Bacoor, Cavite. We met strangers when we went to Mindanao among the tribes and the Moros, the Moro communities. We met strangers in many other communities and the hospital rooms when each of us went to our clinical pastoral trainings. Some of us went even further to meet strangers in India and in Palestine. And in the Palestinian territories through the CWM program. I also met refugees escaping war, hunger, and persecution when I went to the motherland of empire, also through CWM. All those strangers sharing their own journey, their struggles and stories with us, with me. giving us a new and different way of seeing Jesus, a new and different way of knowing ourselves, and a new and different understanding of what faith and ministry is really about. Who are the strangers in your journey of faith? Have you already intentionally walked the journey of faith? Have you been traveling alone or with others? Who are those others traveling with you? Have you already encountered strangers who are radically different from you? Have you met people who have challenged your perspectives and opinions in order to be a more loving person? Have you met individuals with a different story and struggle, or perhaps a different privilege? Have you listened to the people of a different faith, or a people of no faith? Have you visited those persons or groups whose lives and whose views are disturbingly different from yours, but gives you a bigger, clearer, and new way of seeing life? Have you talked to them? Did you ever stop to listen to the journey of strangers? Even this pandemic, what we are experiencing right now, this pandemic is also a journey despite being isolated and stuck in our homes. It is a journey of days, of nights, of weeks, and even of months passing on. It is a journey with uncertainty and fears, like the first disciples who were stuck in the upper room, fearing for their lives. It is a journey that we are doing together despite being physically apart. We call each other to talk about our shared struggle and our shared longings. We witness and hear the struggles and stories of strangers through social media and the daily news. We get to see both the better side of humanity that is compassionate, considerate, and empathic, as well as the side that is violent, uncaring, and intolerant. But nonetheless, we persist in moving forward, hoping and praying that things will be better and clearer, that we will all arrive at the end of this pandemic. The story of the walk to Emmaus reminds us that as Christians, we are on a continuing journey. The journey is not easy. It is long, and it takes time. It is exhausting. We carry in our journey our stories of failures and disappointments, our stories of struggle and even betrayal, our stories of pain and grief. In our shared journey, there are more questions that haunt our minds and linger in our hearts. But we are only able to endure because we are traveling with others. Only by telling our stories and struggles with each other that we are able to see and understand a little better. Only in our conversation with each other and the strangers that we meet along the way that we get some answers and a small glimmer of hope. But hope nonetheless. And when the night draws near and we have reached our destination, the town of Emmaus, the town of Springs, we invite the stranger into our home, into our lives. The same stranger who walked with us the long and exhausting journey, the same stranger who listened to all of our troubles, of all of our doubts, and all of our fears, but also the same stranger, the one who showed us a new and different way of seeing things. We invite the stranger to rest and stay a while. We invite the stranger to eat and drink with us. And through the breaking of bread and the stories that were said, we finally witness that Christ is indeed not dead. The Christian life is an Easter journey to many places and many stories. It is a journey we must walk ourselves, yet travel with others. And it is only in journeying together and welcoming strangers that we encounter the risen Christ who walked our way. Amen.